Good morning. Standing up here, looking around, I can tell what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, I would have never guessed that he owned a tie. I'd like to thank everybody for being here this morning and for this opportunity to speak today. As Johnny said, I don't get up here that often. I average about one lesson every 10 years. And so I'm relatively new to speaking. And even if I hope you get something from my lesson today, but even if you don't, your presence here in the audience and your encouragement will help me a great deal as I attempt to improve my public speaking ability. You know, typically, well, over the past couple of years, you know, we've had several, well, let me back up a little bit. See, I'm nervous. The main reason that I haven't got up here is because we typically would have plenty of talented, knowledgeable men to get up here and preach and present lessons. So I would sit back there in the corner and I would let them. But men like Oren, you know, he's moved to Texas for job opportunities. I think Carl is over at the Clovis congregation. I think John will probably end up starting a new congregation. But their absence should not be considered a loss for us. But this is an opportunity for us to improve, specifically me, for me to develop my public speaking skills. As you can see, I'm not doing very well at the moment. But thank you. But when Randall is out of town or leading a gospel meeting at some other location, you know, I would like to be able to stand up here and share the load of the speaking responsibilities. Scientists tell us that, you know, if you take coal and put it under a tremendous amount of pressure for millions of years, that that coal will eventually turn into a diamond. So if we look at a scale where coal is at the bottom of the scale and raw uncut diamonds would be in the middle and fine cut diamonds would be at the top of the scale, my speaking ability would probably be equal with coal near the bottom. But some people are hoping that with a little bit of pressure and about 100 million years, I might become more refined like a diamond. Over the years, I've noticed that new or inexperienced speakers tend to reveal a lot about themselves within their lesson, and I'm no different. But in an effort to minimize making this lesson about myself, I'm going to talk about others. I'm going to use others as personal examples. And actually, there's two parts to my lesson today. About 8 or 9 years ago, I enrolled in a speaking class. And from that class, I made an outline guide or template. So if you look on the back of the Sun Garden Family News, you will see a blank outline that I use to organize my speeches whenever I'm going to present a lesson. And part of my lesson today is going to be a message for all, where I'm going to use personal examples or other people as personal examples. The other half of my lesson, I'm going to talk about how to do an outline for those of you that may be the same as I am, sitting back there, maybe wanting to try speaking in public, but the fear of public speaking has kept you in your seat, kind of like me sitting back there in the corner. So if you look at the blank outline on the back, right now we would be near the end of the introduction area or section. An introduction would consist of an opening statement, the purpose for the speech, the relation of the speaker to the audience, and the credentials of the speaker relating to the topic that he's giving, and a preview of the lesson to come. Did I hit all five of those elements? Maybe. After the introduction, we'd move on to the main body of the speech, which would contain 2 to 5 main points and then subpoints to support the main points. And those main points should be organized in some type of organizational pattern using, like, say, time or importance. We could move from the oldest to the newest, or the newest to the oldest. Your main points could be arranged from least important to most important, or from most important to least important. Or, in the case of my lesson today, all of the main points could be similar in nature, or you could have main points that contrast each other. So basically, a speaker can organize his lesson or topic in any way he seems or feels that fits that topic the best. The first main point of my lesson today would be Harry Newton. Many of you remember Harry. He was a big man, a strong man, a soldier. I remember Harry saying that he could write his name on the wall with a machine gun. And given his character, I never doubted him. I've got a friend, a former co-worker that was a Marine. He was a corporal in the United States Marine Corps, and his friend was a confident, outspoken character, just like Harry. And he had an expression. He said, "Being a good Marine may not get me into heaven, but I will be outside the gate standing guard." Well, this expression acknowledges two things: that being a good Marine, standing in harm's way to protect others, may give you a sense of pride, but being a good Marine or a good soldier is not going to gain you entrance into heaven. In chapter 3, in Luke chapter 3, when John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing the multitudes, he also gave them a warning to repent. In verse 10, some of the people asked John, "What should we do?" And John told them, "You know, if you have 2 coats, give one to someone who doesn't have a coat. If you have food, share your food with someone who has no food." Next, we see the tax collectors asking, "What shall we do?" And John tells them not to collect any more than is owed. The first two instructions, share your food and clothing, are easy to understand. The advice for the tax collectors needs a little bit more context. Tax collectors, or publicans as they were called in that day, typically would increase in wealth. In fact, people wanted that position because it enabled them to collect more than what was owed. And then they would pocket the difference. That's how they became wealthy. Excuse me. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 14, is the specific advice that John gave to soldiers like Harry. Luke 3:14. "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with thy wages." John is not suggesting that they choose a different career. And the fact is, most people around the world and throughout history haven't had a lot of opportunities to be able to choose what career they would have. But he's instructing them to conduct themselves properly, to follow God's principles of righteousness. Being selfish, cheating others, being violent are things that we should avoid. But a soldier also needs to avoid being entangled with the affairs of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Harry became a Christian late in life, and his commitment to be a Christian never wavered, just as his service as a soldier to this country. Harry was not hesitant in his decisions or his actions, and he was always careful to follow instructions faithfully. both as a soldier and as a Christian. Harry understood what it meant to put on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and verse 13. I do not like to attend funerals, and I know most people don't, or no one does, but I did attend Harry's funeral, and surprise, surprise, I was standing in the back. When it came time to, at the end of the funeral, for everyone to walk by and say their last goodbyes, I went up front, paused, and I saluted Harry, which was a gesture that I think he would have considered respectful and appropriate. I turned around, and you know, the family was sitting up there in the first row, and you know, I just nodded my head in a silent acknowledgement of their loss and marched away. It's difficult to know what to say at funerals, and I don't have any advice that would be helpful either, but there is one thing that I might be able to help some of you with, and switching over to the public speaking aspect. If you look at the lesson outline, you'll see there's a word transition in brackets. One of the most difficult things to do when you're speaking is when you have different subjects or topics, it's that transition or segue from one subject to the next. Say if you were talking about green tomatoes and ripe red tomatoes, you just stop one and then go to the other. It's kind of an awkward break. But if you were to say something in the middle, like as the tomatoes continue to ripen on the vine, the green tomatoes eventually turn into red ripe tomatoes, that would be considered a transition. And the next main point of my lesson today had no trouble with transitions. Moriestus. Moriestus was a preacher. He preached here for several years. I think many of you remember him. And the scripture that most reminds me of Mori is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. More we would disagree, but consider to most of us, Maury was a scholar. He was always ready to give an answer relating to his faith or biblical teaching. Maury was a bold preacher of the gospel and committed to preaching as accurately as he could. On one occasion, when my wife and I were walking up here to the auditorium, we noticed Maury in his office. He didn't look like he was feeling well, so we stepped in and to ask him how he was doing. He told us that his body was reacting to a change in his medication, and that morning he still got up and preached, even though his blood pressure was off. Wasn't feeling well, his eyes were swollen shut. Maury preached his lesson from memory. And that's one example of the dedication that Maury had to preaching the gospel. I did not attend Maury's funeral. The third main point of this lesson was another man that was committed to serving God, but in a more subtle way than Maury. Next main point would be Orvin Flowers. Orvin had many different jobs in his lifetime, and there are many different descriptions we can use for Orvin. You know, he was a husband, father, an employee with many different places of employment. Sometimes he was self-employed. On one occasion, he told me that he was trying a new career in sales. But I don't think there was a single job that Maury had done in his entire lifetime that could be considered his vocation. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. I think there was only one label that could describe Orvin Flowers, and that would be, or one description that would be accurate and complete, and that would be Christian. Being a Christian was Orvin's vocation or manner of life. Orvin always had a smile on his face, and he was happiest when he was talking to others about the Bible, and he would always encourage others to study the Bible. I did attend Orvin's funeral. It was a full house, lots of friends, family, neighbors, co-workers from the many jobs that he had worked at. And many of the people were telling fond stories of Orvin at his funeral. And Orvin, his co-workers would call him Preacher Man. That was his nickname at work. Everybody knew he was a Christian, and he was always trying to teach people about God. There was one story where Orvin had often offered to give a friend a ride down to L.A. to the airport to catch a plane. But there was one catch. He had to listen to Orvin teach to him from the Bible as on the trip. So they got into the van. Orvin locked all the doors, and they were on their way. It wasn't clear if the doors were locked for safety or to keep the friend from jumping out of the van. Everyone knew Orvin was a Christian, everyone who was there at the funeral. I did meet a man there, talked to him for a little bit. Before too long, this gentleman was talking about how he regretted the way he was living his life. And I did not know him, he did not know me, and I don't think there was much I could have said to this man that would have made much difference. So I did the best thing I could, which was to point to Orvin, because I knew that he knew Orvin, and told him that he had the best example he could on how to live his life. And the gentleman nodded in agreement. This lesson, a message for everyone, did not use many scriptures. Instead, I tried using different individuals to illustrate, or individuals as examples of people who follow God's word in their daily lives. As Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." And these men reflect that idea. But it's not just the men who were examples. Harry Newton would not have become a Christian if it wasn't for Laverne. Orvin Flowers was not alone in his service to God. He had Etheline encouraging him along the way. And if I misstated any of the details concerning Orvin or Harry, I'm sure Laverne and Etheline can correct me later. But I already know what Etheline's going to say. She'll say something like, "Ooh, honey, you did a wonderful job." Thank you, Etheline, for those kind words. She's always been encouraging, and I'm sure she was that way with Orvin also. If you'd like a more recent example, there are the ladies here in the congregation that anytime there's a funeral, they have provided food for the families who are grieving the loss of loved one and provided food for the funeral. And I don't know who does it or who organizes it or if there's anyone in charge. They do it. And I'd like to say thank you for doing that. I hope the outline, the blank outline that I've described today, would help those of you that are considering speaking in public. I don't know if my example or my performance would be any encouragement, but if you'd like to use that outline, you're free to do so and make adjustments or changes. And if it'll help, you're welcome to use it. And maybe we can grow as in this position of speaking in public together. For those of you who are Christians today, that are here that are Christians, I'd like to remind you that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 38, 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only you can separate yourself from God. And if you feel that this has happened and you would like the congregation to pray on your behalf, you can come forward and make that request known in a couple minutes. For those of you that are visiting, or anyone who wants to learn more about God's Word, I'm aware that today's lesson did not contain very much information on how or why you should become a Christian. I do have a couple more things I'd like to point out. Acts chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Originally, just a side thought, originally my lesson was going to be on Acts chapter 13, but I went a different way, obviously. But Acts chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And then Paul stood up and began to teach them. And I'd like to recommend that you read the rest of Acts 13 because Paul gives a pretty good summary of the Old Testament, or the history that the Jews were well aware of. And it helps to put things in perspective. But the thing I want you to notice from this verse is that when the apostles or the disciples of Jesus went around teaching in the first century, that they did so decently and in order. We follow their example and we try to conduct our Sunday service decently and in order. And we would like you to know that we are always happy to study the Bible with you and answer any questions you may have about God's Word. So for you visitors, when we're dismissed, if you would like to have a Bible study or have any questions, talk to anyone here in the audience and we'll work out or make arrangements to study with you. At the end of the lesson, the end of Acts chapter 13, Paul had it would be nice if we had the same response that Paul gets. Of course, I know I'm nowhere near as talented as Paul was. But after Paul had taught, gave them their history lesson, put things in perspective, and the people were interested, it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 44, and the next Sabbath day, excuse me, the next Sabbath day came the whole city together to hear the word of God. Well, we don't expect the whole city to show up and hear the word of God. But if you do have any questions, or we would hope that you would come back and study with us some more. Excuse me. I'd like to close with one of the most well-known verses from the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross as a sacrifice to pay the price for our sins, then you should not perish. But that doesn't mean, excuse me, but you can believe and still perish. Belief alone is not enough. You must act on that belief and obey the gospel. So if you are subject to the gospel call, you can come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Christ will add you to his church. You can come forward as we stand and sing.